Four Peaks.
Hi, Josh.
Molly Steer, Four Peaks.
Who was that? I don't know that person.
We didn't catch the last person.
Molly Steer at Four Peaks.
Thanks, Molly.
Yep.
This is Ida. I am going to be facilitating the meeting for Fenton, who will be calling in. So we're just going to wait a few minutes.
Hi, this is Kelly Reese and Jeff Diller.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Jeff. This is Ida with the Corps. I'm facilitating for Fenton today. We're just waiting for folks to filter in.
Okay, thank you.
I guess while we're waiting, so we have Josh and Molly from Four Peaks. We have Kelly and Jeff from ODFW. Do we have anybody else on the phone?
This is Mike.
Yeah, it's not there.
Did you catch on?
Something near Special Wildlife.
I have Todd and Mike.
Lawrence Schwabe with Grand Ron.
Hi, Lawrence.
Ida, will we still be using Fenton's WebEx, or will it be a different one?
Yep, still Fenton's WebEx.
Okay, thank you.
And I think Aaron has some stuff to share today. So if you're able to log in, it would be great to do so. We'll be using that later.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else on the phone?
This is Mark Weiland with Four Peaks for the BPA.
Hi, Mark.
Hey.
I heard another beep. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, this is Ken Loffink with ODFW.
Yeah, this is Brad Edwards on 13.
Who was that last person?
Brad.
I know, isn't that weird? I walked by them 3 times before.
All right, so maybe we can go around the room and announce ourselves, and then we'll circle.
Ida, I'm on the phone too. This is Fenton.
Hi, Fenton. So we'll go around the room, and then we'll circle back to anybody on the phone that we missed. So, Patty, do you want to start?
Sure. This is Patty Lowe, CORE tech lead for Cougar 2.0.
Chris Bai, project manager for Cougar and for Foster.
Erin Kobelchuk, CORE. Aaron. We need somebody to mute their phone. That person.
Whoever's moving books or rearranging the furniture.
Sorry,
go
ahead.
Good morning. This is Erica Tarbox, technical lead for Cougar Downstream Passage.
Jeff Hicks, project manager for Cougar 2.0 and Fall Creek Adult Fish Facility.
Scott Fielding, CORE. Aaron Litzenberg, hydraulic engineer, CORE.
Ryan Wilbright, hydraulic design.
This is Ida Royer with the CORE.
John Rarisich, CORE.
Melissa Jett with NIPS.
Ann Mullen with NIPS. Marie Phillips, hydraulic
CORE. Okay, and so do we have anybody else who joined on the phone that hasn't announced themselves?
Yeah, Tom Skiles from Critic.
Okay. Anyone else? Well, I guess we can get this party started then. I'm going to follow down the agenda that Fenton had provided. So starting with approving prior meeting minutes, we have minutes from October. We had comments from ODFW. Does anybody else have, is everybody else okay with them?
Yes.
And we had Norm provide a response to ODFW's comment on the temperature target on the Celsianium, which is 17.5 and not 20. So we'll put that in the notes as well. So I guess we can call that approved. So we'll move on to our updates, starting with Fall Creek. I have some pictures from Jeff. Do you want me to show those?
That'd be great. Yeah, so I'm. This is Jeff Hicks. I'm the new project manager for Natalie Richards, taking over for Fall Creek. And so I'm not exactly sure what has been presented here previously, so I was just gonna, I guess, touch a little bit on what we experienced last year, what we experienced in the off season, and kind of where we're at today. So last year we had some pretty big technical difficulties working through our complex geometry of the fish horns and the water supply pipes. And so we've got a pretty big reverse 90 degree angle turn that's down encased in concrete at the bottom of our dam. And so in order to have our centralizer, line it, we have these centralizers, and we had to pull so hard that these centralizers essentially broke. So if you can see that right leg right there, the upper right leg, that's some of the technical challenges that we experienced when trying to line last season. We had some eco blocks downstream that we bolted into the ground. Those eco blocks, or we didn't bolt into the ground at first, but as we were trying to pull our pipeliner and sprayer through, that eco block would shift. And so we had to anchor it into the ground. Once we started anchoring, that's when we had a few pieces of our centralizer break. And so this off season, we've beefed up our system. We've redesigned some of our centralizers, some of our equipment that pulls through our water supply pipes. And hopefully we have a better and less challenging time this season. And so on the next photo. During the off season, we experienced these are pipelining chips that came through the water supply, and this is at the bottom of our, at the entrance of our fish facility. So these are the dewatering screens as we get our water supply that feeds the bottom ladder and our traction water. So this, all these chips, we weren't exactly sure what they were from. Were they the first lift? Were they the second lift? How much of our pipelining failed? And so during our first season, we experienced a few leaks when reservoir came up, and we had a little bit of silt and water come through between our first and our second dips. And so all of this, all of these chips, this picture and the next, are the second lift of our pipelining. And so originally we were slated for 400 millimeters of thickness through the pipelining. That was going to be a full structural repair. So if we were to lose section on our pipe, this pipeline was going to be able to act as a structural pipe. What we found out through our old inspections and reviewing the video after the failure of the second lift was that the first lift is still intact, it looks really good, and that we probably don't need a complete structural fix on our pipeline since we don't have a full section loss, and so 200 milliliters is what, or millimeters is what we're going to be applying this season. And so right now the contractor's mobilized to Fall Creek. They've prepped the work, they've removed the spools from the upstream side, they've removed the valves on the downstream side so they can get their equipment into the pipes, and they're starting to work spraying between the valve vault and the isolation valve structure. This is anticipated to go on through the end of the calendar year and into January and February of next year, 2020. That's kind of where we're at today. Does anybody have any questions on Fall Creek?
Any questions on the phone for Jeff?
Okay. This is inside the fisherman, is that what you're saying?
So this is the lining that we provided from the fish horns up top through the entire pipeline. So it's like a 1,100 linear feet of pipe, three different pipes that we're trying to coat.
Yeah, this is line for that fish ladder.
Right.
Ladder.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not going to fish horns.
The fish horns are on the upstream that connect to the water supply pipes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you run those? Do you run the separators when you're running this?
The separator screens?
Yeah. Is there a separator screen to pop?
Yeah, so this is the separator screen, so any debris that would come over gets filtered on these little separator screens, and then the water. It's porous steel plate underneath this. You just can't see it because of all these.
It's about 200 CFS, right?
Through the pipes?
Yeah.
It depends on what we're running, whether it's the big horn or the, I guess, the big pipe or the small one. I think we're anywhere from 200 to 500 CFS on the big one. But I can confirm that for you.
Now, the whole system is a max of about 211 to 213 CFS.
Thanks, Craig.
Todd,
sorry.
Any other questions? All right, thanks, Jeff. We had a few people call in. Anybody join us?
Hi, this is Rich Pyskowski.
Hi, Rich. Okay, so we'll move on to Cougar 2.0.
Okay, I'll cover that.
Okay.
So we had a brainstorming charrette meeting on October 23rd. We had a really good presentation, room full of people. Tetra Tech is a contractor who led the meeting, and we started off by talking about the constraints and what to design, what to look at our concepts under. And then I don't know how much detail you want to get into here, but then the Tetra Tech kind of showed the PowerPoint presentation that was developed by a small group in a very short time back in November 2018 when they were looking at concepts of non-hydropower alternatives. And in the afternoon, we broke into groups, four different groups. So each group kind of had a focus where look at alternatives or brainstorming alternatives for passage through the ROs.
Another group was through Penstocks, another group was through the diversion tunnel, and the last one was kind of looking at collection, how to collect with the FSS or FSC. I think that was the only one that stood out to me that got thrown out was the FSC alternative for collection. We don't have the draft minutes yet from the meeting. Lois from Tetra Tech is planning on having that done today, so the draft minutes, and then she'll turn it around for comments for the PDT. And the 50% report is scheduled to be submitted December 5th, and the Corps will have a two-week review period, and then it'll turn over to the BPA for a two-week period, review period, and then to the agencies for a, well, it'll be beginning of January, okay. So the full month of January for the agency review.
And that's 50%,
you
said?
50%. That's their first milestone. Yes. So we're just going to have a 50% and a 90%, just because we had just really tight time frame for the whole project. Whole project should be done by the end of May or beginning of June.
Okay.
Any questions?
I'm kind of confused about what a 50% means here. Is it like a 50% development of what each of those subsets of passage might look like?
Yes.
It is. With?
It is. Okay. Yeah, 50%. And then 90%, they'll develop them even further, but then past the 90%, they'll take the best one and develop that even further.
Okay, and that's by what time next year, did you say?
The 90% was, I think it was March. Yeah, the core review was in the beginning of March. So end of March would be BPA, and then April would be the agency review of the 90%. We're going to have a 90% pre-90% meeting where the whole group will say, okay, which one is the best one to carry forward for the final.
Are they narrowing the alternatives between 50 and 90?
Maybe we'll start with 8 for the 50%. We may narrow that down to 4 to carry further, and then the final one will be one for the final, for the MKCs, for the cost estimate part.
Okay, any other questions? Anybody on the phone for Patty on Cougar 2.0?
Oh, one other thing is just the 50% review meeting. A doodle poll will be sent out to look at December 9th through the 12th, and it'll be a 4-hour morning meeting.
Okay. So people can look for a doodle for the December meeting, and that'll be going out
tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay. So, Scott. Okay. All right.
And this is Fenton, just to verify, I sent out the first doodle poll, but here on out, Scott Fielding will coordinate this meeting, so expect a doodle poll from Scott and not me.
Yeah, so you can stop filtering his emails from your inbox.
That's right.
All right. Anything else, Patty, or anybody else? Going once, going twice? All right. We are going to move on to Cougar Downstream Passage.
I am going to take over control.
Okay. Do I need to do anything?
I got it.
Okay.
We'll see.
All right, so folks, hopefully you're logged into the WebEx because Erica is going to be presenting a PowerPoint. So if you have any issues looking or seeing it, just let us know. And with that, Erica could take it away.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. We are going to be discussing the internal hydraulics of Cougar FSS. Back in January during our site visits, we were at the physical model and had determined that we were seeing some anomalies in the channels, in the secondary channels.
And as a result of that, we started to take a look at what we were seeing there, questioning that. So.
Yeah, so what we were seeing in the secondaries, even though the model wasn't scaled to appropriately look at the hydraulics in the secondary channels, we were noticing some kind of standing waves that we were seeing there. So even though it wasn't scaled for it, when you see something like that, it's kind of a good reason to go back and take a look at your calculations. So when we actually got measured velocity values in there, we realized that we weren't getting as high of a velocity in the secondary channels as we had originally intended. Originally, we were hoping to get up to 8 feet per second, and then come back down before going into the tertiary screens, and we were only getting up to about 5.5, I believe. So we went back and looked at our calculations, realized we had a check on those calculations for a crude number that wasn't working correctly, and fixed that. We looked at the calculations and tried to figure out, okay, what are we going to do to try to fix this?
Yep. And so as a result of trying to figure out what we're going to do to fix that, we looked at some alternatives. Those alternatives we looked at was, what can we achieve within the current footprint? And that would be at a constant acceleration up to a minimum of 6 feet per second. That was our goal with that alternative, to see how we could change the geometry in the secondaries to achieve that. The second alternative we looked at was, what would it take, what modifications would be required of the FSS to constantly accelerate up to a minimum of 8 feet per second? And then what types of changes would we need to make to the FSS if we were going to accelerate to a range somewhere between 7 and 8 feet per second and then decelerate? So we looked at these alternatives. Each of these alternatives had pros and cons. The design alternative one, we would be keeping the same footprint of the FSS. We would be only adjusting the geometry of the secondary channels. And then with the design options 2 and 3, those would require additional length added to the vessel. Design option 2 would, at a minimum, require 6 feet of additional length in the tertiaries, or in the rear fish handling area, to address that additional water. So as we're increasing the feet per second to the back of the vessel, we'd also be increasing the flow to the rear of the vessel. So that would be more water to handle in the rear of the vessel, larger pumps, more length. We would be impinging on the downstream passage, or the future, what am I trying?
High head bypass
space, if we added length to the rear of the vessel. Design option 3, we would be adding additional length to the front of the vessel, pushing the entrance out more into the cul-de-sac. This one also had the decelerate, so we'd accelerate up to a point somewhere between 7 and 8, and then we would decelerate back down to that 6 feet per second, which is the flow we were able to handle and maintain in the rear of the vessel. So as a PDT, we went through, talked about these options, and came out on the other side with not adding any length to the FSS and changing the internal geometry of the secondary, so that we are reaching a maximum velocity of approximately 6.36 feet per second. And that'll happen here at the end of the secondaries. And at that point, you would then fall over the weir, the flow control weir, entering into the tertiary, so you have over weir flow at that point. And then that's the summary of it. I'm opening it up for discussions, unless Scott or Aaron, you guys wanted to add anything to what I've said?
No, I think that covers it.
Didn't they still have it set up that you could run a test again? Or?
No, the model has been broken down. The model has actually just arrived last week at the U.S. Moorings. Aaron is going to be going out to make sure it is properly protected.
There's some tarps over it. Not very weatherproof right now.
And
we weren't able to use the model, but we did calibrate our calculations based on what we saw in the model from the previous testing.
That's what I had. Questions on the phone?
Nobody? Questions for Erica? All right.
I'm going to stop sharing, and that should pop it back over to you, or you might have to share your screen again, Ida.
All right. Okay. So, moving on in the agenda to Detroit. John?
Bridget and Jeff couldn't be here today. And I think Bridget and Steve are down in Detroit with Erdic. We don't have much to update since the last meeting. As we've talked about, we have limitations with funding, so we've had to reconvene and rescope for this FY. And we have 60% plans and specs milestone in January. That might get pushed back. We don't have ECI due to lack of funding, so we're going to prioritize completing the EIS and the NEPA process and the penstock bifurcation and then the above water features. And so what we're scoping is the prioritization of which above water features we'll be working on this FY. We had an IEPR last week for the review of the SWS and FSS DDRs. So that is underway, and that's about all I have, really. We continue to work on the EIS, the blasting impacts, and Kelly has sent out a doodle poll to try to get the next meeting together for that.
I responded.
John's you did? Okay.
Like I'm the last one out. I'm sure I did on Friday sometime late last week.
So that's coming up. The blasting team's working on developing the analysis for the blast zone and impacts. More to come there. And yeah, we just continue to work on the responses to all the comments we've received, including the ones from the 30% plans and specs. And those will go out before the 60% is sent, or with the 60% of the comment responses.
The IEPR process that continues? I'm not 100% sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it started.
The independent external peer review.
Yeah. So that result will be done sometime before the end of the year, probably.
Yes. I think we'll get comments by early December. Any questions?
We're just whipping through this agenda here today. So if there's nobody else has any questions, nobody on the phone? Okay, we'll move on to Foster. Chris, you wanna?
You can do that.
Okay. So
I can, this is the latter one, right, Ida?
Oh yeah,
I don't have the agenda in front of me. I don't remember which one is first.
Sorry, yeah, I didn't clarify. It's a Foster upstream adult passage. Ladder improvement, PDT. So we sent out our 90% assessment report in the end of October, so that should be out for everybody to comment on. And we can answer any questions that people have them today as well. And comments will be due for that on the 27th of November. So does anybody have any questions on?
I've gone through it once. I
don't
have any questions yet.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, if you have any, feel free to contact me, and I'll do my best to answer them. Anything else, Chris, you can think of for that?
We're doing a targeted PFMA, potential failure mode analysis in November. 19 with our dam safety folks, because the recommended alternative is a hole through the dam. So to review and analyze whether there's any dam safety issues with doing that, we're going through that. That information will be provided to the safety and assurance review team, which is just like an IEPR that they call it, an SAR now. So I'm working with our risk management center to stand up a team, a SAR team, and this targeted PFMA will be really important to go through and get that documented so we can give it to them and help them do their review quicker so we can move this project forward.
Is there already a hole in that dam that services, or maybe it's on the upstream end, the city of Sweet Home gets their water out of it, right? I'm not saying that gives you a spot to go to, but just curious.
So in the valve room, there's an opening, and we explored that. It's the lower opening in the report. If you go through the report, you'll see that. It's not the preferred alternative because it's not the right size. We need a bigger opening than that. So it would complicate our how you get enough water. There are two intakes, but they're too low. So we're proposing a hole higher up so we can skim the warmer water and plumb that to the ladder. That's the essence of it, yeah.
Anybody else have any questions for Chris or I on Foster fish ladder? Okay. Now, Fenton, we'll turn it to downstream passage at Foster.
All right. Hi, everybody. We don't have much of an update for the fish weir either. We sent out our report earlier last week or late last week, and comments are due by November 29th. So just like with the Foster ladder report, we ask that you review these reports and provide comments. We realize that we're getting up into the holidays. But we're waiting on... That was the high head bypass report that I sent out. We have not sent out the Foster fish weir report as yet, and the reason being is we're waiting on the hydraulic modeling with a new software, and I don't know if Aaron is still in the room, but that modeling will tell us or give us information on how the plunge pool that we're proposing, how that plunge pool will behave. And so there's a gap in the report on the results of the hydraulic modeling, so we didn't feel that we could send a report out now with that missing information, which is key, and then have you review the same report again later in December or January when we have that information. So we decided to put the report on hold and send it to you. It probably would be January after the holidays because we have to do the hydraulic modeling. We're waiting for the license to be bought. Then Aaron has to run the model. We have to interpret the results and then write it up. So we will continue to report at our November or December Fitterwick meeting, but I expect you're not going to see the report for review until maybe January after the modeling is complete. The alternative is still the same that we proposed, is creating a plunge pool, using Obermeyer type gates and then a channel going down the spillways. And none of that has changed. It's just that we need some confirmation from the hydraulic modeling with new software. So, any questions?
No.
Nice. Next time, I'm just going to have Ida run all these meetings, and then we can just fly through them.
We're not
indulging
so much sugar.
There's food.
I didn't hear that. Somebody said something.
Who brought that?
The sugar cookies are not keeping us lively.
Ida's following in your footsteps, Fenton. She brought food.
Oh, did Ida bring treats?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You're missing out.
You got competition.
I'm going to step up and have some so I ask all my questions.
Oh, and she's going to say they're so much better than Fenton's.
Not that better than sugar cookies. These are delicious.
Just kidding, Fenton. We love your cookies.
Yeah, careful, or he'll stop breaking them.
Yeah, don't stop breaking
them. Exactly. Yeah, you know, when I start running the meetings again, there it's going to be empty-handed. You're going to have to bring your own treat.
My bad.
No, all right. He'll still do it.
Yeah. Well, Fenton, you want to take it away for high head bypass then?
Yeah, did I hear, although I don't remember, but I thought at the beginning, is Ryan Woolbright still in the room or did he call in?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Ryan, do you want to give the update for HiHead, or you want me to?
There's not a whole lot of an update. Fenton mentioned, I think, that he sent out the 30% for review. We're expecting our 60% in December. So we'll probably pass along for the agencies to review early January. And that's kind of the only update I have for right now. Ben, do you have anything else?
And I do want to add is we did send out the spreadsheet matrix with how we evaluated the alternative. And we, as we discussed last month at our Fitwig, we already cut two of the alternatives. So we went from 6 to 4. And Ryan and I sent out the spreadsheet right after Fitwig meeting in October. And I sent it out again with the report last week. It is a lot of coding all in. It's Excel gymnastics. And so if you had time, take a look at it and let us know what you think or if you need any help. I know ODF&W had asked for some additional information, which we provided. So let us know what you think, but we'd appreciate it if you review the report and the spreadsheet and give us comments, because as Ryan mentioned, we're moving on to our 60%.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's it for HiHead Bypass then. And that's our agenda. Does anybody have anything else that wasn't on the agenda that they want to bring up? No? So the next Fitwig meeting is currently scheduled for December 3rd. And upcoming reviews, we have December 3rd. Yeah.
It's the same day as APA, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. So upcoming reviews, we have the HiHead Bypass EDR, which is currently out, the 30% for everyone to review, and that's due the 29th. We have the Foster 90% assessment report. Comments are due the 27th of November. And then we have a couple of reports that'll be coming out in early January, but we won't think about that yet. And that's all I had. Anyone else? It's a pretty fast meeting today.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout out. Thanks to Ida for sharing the meeting for me today, since I'm in the field. And I did not know that she was bringing treats, or I would have driven back there for the meeting. Hey, Ryan, when you get back to your office, could you give me a call on my cell, please?
Can do.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for calling and for participating today. We'll catch you next time.